north for a second, because we all know the devastation that Cyclone Debbie's caused through Queensland. And we hope that every, as I guess the morning unfolds and people, I believe that it went from a Category 4 down to a Category 3 overnight. So lots of devastation up there. One of the things that I saw on one of the broadcasts yesterday that was astounding, a Channel 7 chopper captured footage of a man, or could be a woman, to be honest. You can't really see from this. No, it's definitely a man, and because we've got his name here. He was kite surfing through what is nothing short of, I mean, that's like the storm in that movie. Remember that movie with George Clooney where they were up in the, they were fishing and they got killed by a wave? Anyone?
That one was not on my radar.
Caitlin knows it. Somebody.
Oh, Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm.
Good.
This guy, that is life-threatening what he did last.
That's
Beb,
absurd.
That's crazy what this guy did.
I'm glad you've brought this up, Fief, because I was watching it yesterday and I'm like, what about the surf out there? Surfers would love that.
Well, their advice is stay away.
They are absolutely, stay behind closed doors. This guy is an idiot. And he's joining us live. He's joining us live from Queensland. Dyson Mainwaring is the surfer who unfortunately was doing this kite surfing yesterday. Dyson, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me on your show, eh? Nothing like going through a tropical storm and then being referred to as an idiot when you're on the radio. Thanks, eh?
First of all, Tyson, we can't believe that you surfed in a tropical cyclone. What were you thinking?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty full on, guys, eh? Like, I'm not going to lie, I was packing me dacks, which isn't the best when you're wearing a wetsuit. Like, why don't they build those things with mesh on the crutch or something?
But what made you think this was a good idea?
Oh, look, to be honest, I'm a bit of a daredevil. You know, my mates all know it, eh? Like, if they dare me to do something, I'll take out the challenge and give it a crack, eh?
So this isn't the first crazy thing you've done? You've done things like this before?
Oh, yeah. I've done stuff even crazier than this. Like, last week, get this, guys, I drank cold-pressed juice for an entire week. That's not easy. That stuff cost you $28 a bottle. Like, I had to remortgage my house. It was pretty full on.
So do you think you just did it so you could brag to your mates that you pulled it off?
Yeah, probably, eh? Like, I'm not on Tinder, but now I can tell me mates are owed Debbie for at least an hour.
Oh.
Whoa. Is this the same guy that jumped in the lake with the croc up there? Is this the same dude?
sounds
exactly
the same.
Nah, he's gone.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Hey, Olivia Newton-John has revealed that she'll be joining forces with John Travolta to mark the 40th anniversary of their hit film Grease. So there are reports that they'll be reprising the roles of Danny and Sandy, and we'll see what was happening in their lives 40 years later.
Oh,
I love you.
40 years?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Nah.
You don't want that? Really, we'll leave it back then?
Do you remember The Force Awakens? You watch Star Wars, and then there's Harrison Ford, and like Carrie Fisher, she's passed away. I granted that, but that was just two old people having a romantic interest, and you're like, nah, thanks.
Nah, thanks.
Oh, Dave.
Well, it's interesting, though, because there are lots of people who weren't. One of the, and we've talked about this before, but the ending of Grease does irk some people who are Grease fans, because it's all going well. They're at, oh, spoiler alert, no one's seen Grease.
They've had 40 years.
They're having fun at the carnival. You know, it's the end of school muck-up day,
yeah.
And then they're having fun at the carnival. Next minute, they're in a car flying up through the sky through clouds.
It's amazing. If 40 years ago they could do that.
It is. Exactly.
And now they can't.
And Fev, they shouldn't have been driving, because those chills, they were multiplying. They were sick. They shouldn't be behind the wheel.
And there's some conspiracy theories. In fact, recently Olivia Newton-John was on The Project, and I was asking her about some of the conspiracy theories of the end of Grease.
Conspiracy theory about Grease that went global and viral about Sandy, who, and if you've missed this, that Sandy was in fact dead, and the whole movie of Grease was a look back of what her life could have been. Well, no one knows
Which
Sandy
is why
better.
She goes off into the
in the clouds at the end. No one knows Sandy. Andy Better, Olivia, do you have any comment on this?
I thought it was hilarious, so hilarious, and I didn't even conceive of such an idea, but I thought, well, if that's true, then we were the first zombie musical. I think we look pretty good, considering.
See, good conspiracy theory if you hate the ending, but I'm not that fussed about it. I didn't mind it either way. But we've done this before on this show. We've discussed movies where you've hated the ending. 131060, call now. You may still be holding a grudge. We had a few calls. Remember the lady who hated the ending of Thelma and Louise?
Yep. Makes sense.
But see, that's a good ending, don't
La
you think?
La La Land, no good.
Yeah, but we said that's too recent. You can't spoil that, Fev. Can't talk about
that. But by the way, that was a great ending.
No, Byron, I walked out of the cinema and I text you straight away because you said how good it was. And so I said, this show is horrific. Then he wrote a message back going, wow, they're up for 35 Oscars on it. And then I texted him after the Oscars and said, that's why they didn't win.
Well, so he calls up to this. The end of the Oscars, the end of La La Land. Yeah. It wasn't for you.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
40th anniversary of Grease.
What's Grease lightning?
Yeah. Sandy and Danny are reuniting. John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, or Olivia's revealed that they're going to do a remake. Or not a remake, sorry. They're going to do a, what do you call
sort
it?
Sort of a sequel, 40 years I later. Guess.
Anyway, we were talking about the ending of Grease and how a lot of people didn't necessarily love that. Mm. The fact that they went off into the clouds because it was a realistic, I was going to say it was a realistic movie. Just singing and dancing all through their high school year. But
I think for the new one, Thief, they're going to fly off in a Qantas plane. Because he's a pilot now and they're both Aussies. Bang.
Good product placement.
Yeah.
I reckon that's what they'll do.
I wonder if he's still got that endorsement. Mm.
He's got his own carriers
doesn't
and stuff.
Need
his,
it exactly
at his house. He's got
You're
his own.
Right.
He's amazing.
Does he? Yeah.
I watched a documentary and poor, geez, he's done well.
He doesn't need to do this this sequel.
No, he's just
to Grease. But anyway, could you get us talking about movie endings you hate? Because you can get very passionate. You invest often 130 minutes into a film and you get to the last scene and you go, you're kidding me. You can't end the movie like that. So we have said share your passion for a movie that you hated the ending of. Tyson.
I hope one of these guys has got La La Land in there.
Tyson from Altona Meadows. Hi, Tyson.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great, Tyson. Tyson, what movie ending are you still irate about?
So I was just at home one night just watching a movie and it was called Before We Go with Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. And so basically this girl stuck in New York for the whole night and runs into Chris Evans and they just like somehow fall in love within one whole night. Mm. And then throughout the night he writes her a note, like probably telling her he loves her or something. And then at the end of the movie she hops back on the train to go back to her fiancé. And then as she opens the note the movie just ends.
That's So you never see what he wrote?
You never see what he wrote.
And you don't see whether or not she got off the plane and went straight back to New York.
No, you don't know anything.
Yeah, that's done. I'll never watch that.
You know, and this isn't just the ending. The Notebook I hate in general because it's just like, it's like Lady.
I'll
explain it to you quickly.
You be very careful.
Do you know why?
You be very, very careful.
Because it's like lady porn. She's got one bloke who's heartbroken his whole life waiting for her and another rich guy, rich as the hills, both waiting for her. And she's like, I'm going to jerk over one of you. One of you is just going to be like, I'm just going to do you over and hook up with the other guy. And they're both standing there going, so which one are you going to break? And I just think like, if the roles are reversed and the bloke's just got two birds on the go and then he was like, oh, I'm going to fob one of you off and then hook up with the other.
They were in the hospital and he kept reading her the story about her life. Come on, mate.
Nah, mate.
It's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Nah.
Hannah from Mount Martha. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, how are you guys going?
Great, Hannah. What movie ending do you despise?
Do you know that movie, The Mist, by Stephen King?
Never heard
of it. It's the one where all the monsters, it's really a bit weird, but come out of the mist and then this bloke and his son and then another older couple, they all try to escape and the whole movie's about this. And then at the very end, they all think that they're going to die, so he shoots them all and then he's left surviving and then the mist clears and he gets saved. And that's the end of the movie.
Is he the gorillas in the mist? He gets what?
He only has four bullets, so he can't save himself.
He kills his family and his friends and he's alone at the end.
Yeah, and then he gets saved.
Oh, horrible movie, Hannah. Thank you for
It's horrible.
Isn't it? When did it come out?
Oh, ages ago? Have you just never really heard of it?
No, it's not a huge one.
I reckon Steve King might be done.
Sounds like definitely one to miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Books,
Daniel in Lang Warren. Yeah, he does. Daniel.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Daniel, movie ending you hate?
Yeah, The Mist. I don't think it was finished properly.
The Mist again?
We just had Hannah calling about, Daniel, we've never heard of The Mist. You didn't like the fact that he killed everybody?
Nah.
And he had four bullets, didn't he?
Didn't know how to end it, so they just end it real quickly.
Yeah, and of all the trouble you got with weather, mist. Like a storm? Yeah, you're going to, like, oh, I've got Twister. That's going to shake me. Oh, guys, there's a bit of dew on the grass. Back off!
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Here's an interesting little story about Hollywood actor Jack Nicholson.
Finally.
I know. How old is Jack now? He'd be in his 70s.
Have to be.
But how's this? When he was 37, he was doing promotion for his movie Chinatown. Great movie, if anyone's seen that, from Jack's
back
catalogue.
Can I just highlight this morning? We've talked about Greece and Chinatown.
and The Mist.
We've hit a lot of Stephen King hot points.
Yeah, yeah. What else? Rocky won the Oscar in 76.
Anyway, so he
one,
was doing
two or three.
Publicity, and a journo had done a bit of research on him. And this is fascinating. So this journo has said to him, hey, Jack, you know how you've got a mum and a sister? Did you realise that your sister's actually your mum?
Could you explain that?
Okay. This is what happened. Jack Nicholson's mother was 17 when she had Jack.
Right.
Now, back then, it would have been, what, the 40s, 1940s? She was an unwed mother. She was a teenager.
Right.
So what happened was her parents decided to raise Jack as their own. So what ended up happening is little baby Jack, he thinks his big sister is his big sister, but in actual fact, she's his mum.
Oh, gotcha.
But he doesn't know this, so he lives his whole life. He's nearly 40. He's doing an interview for a movie he's promoting, but the journo had done a bit of research and dug up some stuff from his hometown.
Bloody journos.
And but wait for it. Jack's gone, well, that's stupid. That's obviously not the case. He found out another 10 years later when his mum died, his sister died, one of his other sisters went, Jack, yeah. That is actually true.
So we let it sit for 10 years.
Well, he just assumed that was rubbish. That's the same as somebody saying to me, your mum's not your mum. And I'd go, well, that's ridiculous. Next. He just dismissed it
right. Because
he thought it was rubbish.
Yeah, I got courtside seats at the Lakers to take care of this. I'm out of here, bro. I don't need this.
But mind-blowing, his quote was, he said, look, because somebody said, how did you feel about it when that happened? He said, look, I'll say it was a dramatic event in my life, but it was hardly traumatising. After all, by the time I found out who my real mother was, I was pretty well psychologically formed. But it made a few things clearer to me. So
that's a good point.
It is a good point. But
he couldn't talk to him about it because they've all passed.
They passed away. I know. So he lived his whole life thinking that his sister was his sister when she was his mum. But I love the way all your brains. When I started to explain that, you know what happened? All your eyes went a tiny bit cross-eyed. And you know that happens whenever we talk about freaky family trees. Not to Family Ties, the TV show. Freaky family trees.
I'm more cross-eyed now.
No, this is the jingle
for
Freaky
Family
Trees.
Come on, this is fun. 131060. Call through with a complicated family tree and we'll try to unravel them. And usually it is when your uncle's also your stepfather. No, that one wouldn't be right, would it?
It was my sister's cousin's dad, who was his mum to his sister, and then they had brother twins who become their sister's mum.
Perfect.
Something like that. I just made that up. But
that's it. 131060. Do you, in your family lineage, do you have a freaky family tree?
What normally happens is we take these calls, three guys in here are puzzled, and Fifi just nails it. You're really good with this stuff.
Thank you. It is one of my strengths.
Yeah, but she turns into like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. There's strings everywhere. She's trying to work it out.
We'll take your calls after the break.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Right now, Fifi, it's one of your favourite segments.
Freaky family trees. We know there are here in Melbourne. We know that people are doing... No, it's all above board. It's all legal.
Oh,
no,
sure.
It's worth it for this jingle, Fred.
I know. So we're all torn because we sort of want to sit and listen to this song now, Byron.
Okay, we'll
so
we
are
going to take calls. This morning?
What?
Cheers.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's
another great jingle. Well,
everybody knows your name.
Yes. Chelsea from Sunshine. Hi, Chels.
Hi, my brother is my cousin.
Whoa!
Okay, here we go. This is classic freaky family.
And how is Launceston going?
Can I guess?
Go.
Has one of your parents married or hooked up with one of their brothers or sisters and had a child?
No, the
yes,
mum.
Yes, that's correct.
There we go, I got it!
Fev.
I got it.
I think she got it.
Yeah.
So give us the specifics,
when
Chelsea.
My dad was younger, so he's 4 years older than my mum. He met my mum's sister and they, you know, had a bit of fun. And my brother came along and then years later, my parents fell in love and then had me and my sisters.
So your dad's fallen in love with two sisters at different stages of his life, which is very possible.
When you
met DNA, if you're attracted to one person, you're probably attracted to one of their
siblings. Are they twins?
Siblings.
Are they twins? Sorry, I'll put Chelsea's volume back up.
Older, but it's pretty good. It's family fun.
That is family fun, Chelsea. It's just funny being able to say my brother's my cousin.
Yeah, it makes people kind of
blows their mind.
You and be like, what?
I know. Oh, and you've got to get out and talk about it.
Totally.
You know, back in the day, I don't know what day, this would have been, these would have been those secrets. Don't let anyone know. Yeah. Don't let the neighbours find out. Now, what are you two laughing at?
Well, if that story had zigged instead of zagged, Fev was hoping that whole story be told to the Mountain South Footy Club.
What do you mean?
Let's move on quickly.
Oh, you can't have a private joke in the studio because we don't know what it is.
I think it was on air.
Lisa in Pakenham. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Lise, your freaky family tree.
So my auntie is also my second cousin.
Good luck, Faith.
Okay, Lise, I might need a tiny bit of help with that one. Talk us through it.
So my mum and dad got married. My mum's brother married my dad's cousin.
Right. That's good. That's a good, solid, complicated one, Lise. Like it would actually, I'll need photo. I sort of need diagrams to get through that
one.
Yeah, but I get it. It's simple but complicated.
Hey, Boxy.
I think the producers had some issues too.
Yeah, they.
Oh, they've got lots of issues.
Boxy, I always wind you up about your private school education, but this is proving that it works because the rest of us in the studio have no idea what's going on.
Brianna and Neri Warren. Hi, Brianna.
Hi.
Brianna, we're very excited to hear your freaky family tree.
Mine's a little bit bizarre. So I was going through doing our family tree and my great-grandfather, we worked out, there was a father and a mother who had a group of children. One of those children got married to someone else and had a bunch of children. And then the son and the mum both died and the daughter-in-law married the dad. So she married her father-in-law and had another bunch of children. So for those that generation of kids, you were your own aunt or you were your own uncle.
Amazing. Brothers and sisters were also aunts and uncles.
Yeah, I get that.
Yes.
That's great. What a cracking story.
Really? I reckon it started out like a nursery rhyme.
And then they
lived in a giant shoe.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
What a tough 24, nearly 48 hours up there in Queensland with Tropical Cyclone Debbie causing no end of destruction. And as you would have noticed over the last 24 hours, there's pretty much been a non-stop telecast from 7 and 9. And we know that Sunrise, the Today Show, continue to broadcast across the day. And I did notice on social media a lot of criticism. And I understand this. It's an interesting one because often you have a news reporter saying everyone must stay behind closed doors. There's debris flying through the air. But that news reporter is standing outside in the middle of it. And you look at the telly and go, well, you get indoors. What are you doing? That's irresponsible.
Yeah, and also they come into someone's house going, it's flooded, hey? What have you got to do? Sandbag, so pick one up. Like they're just rolling the cameras going, oh, that's a shame. Anyway, I'm back into my helicopter and back to Melbourne.
Well, here's the thing. I can tell you, when I was the weather presenter for Sunrise for a year, I did a lot of it. My job was to chase these storms. Hmm. So anytime you heard a low pressure system was off the coast of far north Queensland, I was on a plane up there. Once I had to chopper into a place called Ingham and Ingham got flooded and I was stuck there for a week. We couldn't get out.
Brutal.
So it was interesting. But what, and I'll give you a little behind the scenes of what's happening. Often, and I don't think this is news anymore. I don't think I'm breaking any code here. But the presenters, the reporters, they need to show devastation. So you're being briefed by producers. Like I'd often get to a place, so Bellingen in New South Wales often gets flooded. So I'd get sent there for a flood and I'd ring back and go, look, it's not bad. I can't really see any devastation. And they'd go, keep looking. And you'd go, okay, so we'd be driving around for a few hours the afternoon before. And eventually you'd find a tree that had fallen over a creek, but the creek might be nowhere near any, you know, humans live or any traffic. And they'd go, right, do your report from that place and you need to talk it up. And this is actually happening. And then you'd, in the morning, you'd be standing there And the camera, you'd be told, can you zoom in? Because when you zoom out, we can see the paddocks around are all fine. So zoom in close, because we need to see.
It's the worst,
some,
isn't it?
Well, it is.
TV sounds a lot like radio.
Well, let's be honest.
Just dramatising.
But this is what happens when the media is influenced by ratings. Now, this isn't smoke and mirrors. It's not. I think we're now savvy enough as people to recognise when we're being manipulated. But the truth is, there's nothing like a storm or situations like this for media to manipulate.
You know what's hilarious about that? And you would know as being a meteorologist, you stand in front of a green screen. They can put anything behind you. Like, just save a flight, put a catastrophe up on the wall and go, oh, it's terrible, guys. A couple of head fans to the face and you just look like you're there.
And I remember, in actual fact, I think you're going to play some audio from it. There was a storm here in our fair city, and Lilydale had a bad night. And I remember I was sent out to Lilydale and I did a cross because I found a tree that had fallen. So I got the cameraman, this is where we've got to stand, where a tree's fallen. And as I was doing the cross, a guy was calling out, nah, it's all fine. No, we're all good. And you go, mate, I'm trying to build drama.
Jeez, every place you've spoken about, Lilydale, Ingham, they make chickens. You would have got fed really well.
Mate, you should have seen Steggles. Disaster.
22 past 8.
Hey, we've got some audio, Warren.
We do. And look, this one, it's unfortunate. Fief did get a bit tongue-tied. It may well have been in Lilydale. There was a lot going on.
I think it was Chernside Park from memory.
Just around the corner?
Yeah.
Really? That's where Schnicks is from.
Just didn't quite work out for Fief. Have a listen.
Later this afternoon. Right now, though, let's check the weather around the rest of the country.
Sorry, what was that?
The word country goes after the weather, not before.
Okay.
And when you don't say the whole word country,
yes,
unfortunately, you're saying words on national television that you didn't want to say.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Yeah, guys, the big news yesterday, we all would have heard, and a lot of other radio stations and news outlets would have been talking about Ben Cousins, who has been sentenced to a year's jail over there in Perth for obviously a lot of different things. Mainly the main reason it all come about was drug use. But knowing Ben really well, I did speak to a mate who was a mutual friend of both of ours, and his first comment was good. And that's the opinion I had. I know a lot of people will go out there, and I read a lot of Twitter stuff yesterday saying all this different stuff about Ben, and everyone's got an opinion, they're bagging him, this and that. But the best thing, this should have happened a long time ago. Just for his mental health and his life, I suppose. Getting sentenced to jail, this is an opportunity for him to go in there, clean himself up, and think about his life, because everyone knows, great sportsman, won Brownlow medal, premierships, but that's not the story now. That's over. It doesn't matter if he was a sportsman or not. This is actually someone's life, and everyone has an opinion, and as a mate, and we spent a fair bit of time together, and I went through a stage where I saw him at Crown. It was actually Grand Prix weekend, and he was down for one of my best mates who he played with at Richmond.
How long ago?
Oh, geez, it was engagement party. This would have been maybe 2011. I'd been out of rehab and stuff.
So this is also after, because I think it's important for people. This is after he'd done all those exposés. Remember, he'd done the interviews.
Yeah, he played at Richmond, and we all knew finished, that. Yeah. So I was actually at Coco's having dinner, and I was in the lift, and he walked past and come in to the lift, and I said, "Oh, what are you doing?" I actually didn't really know Ben at that stage.
Yeah.
And he came upstairs, and I was staying on level 23, and he's come in, and anyway, we're talking away, and he just didn't seem right. Like, he'd been, this is from the Friday, this is now Sunday. And I said, mate, where are you staying tonight? And he's, I don't have anywhere to stay. I said, well, you can stay here. Like, there's a big room, you can sleep here. And we didn't sleep the whole night. We sat up and chatted, but he had like three phones he was operating because he was paranoid that people were listening to his phone calls. And like, looking out the window of the Crown, I said, mate, we're 23 floors up, you know, no one can see in. But we sat down and we spoke for a good 6 or 7 hours about all the stuff, that issues that he had. And I spoke about my issues, and, he wasn't well. And I was saying how I'd been to rehab and done, obviously for different reasons, but he just said he couldn't bring himself to do that. Went through a period where, as I said before, 6 months, I reckon, we spoke. He would have rang me probably 4 or 5 times a day. Even got to the point where Brian was calling me, his old man, asking me to, help him. And, I'd gone through rape. Not that I'm the choir boy, but obviously But him going to rehab, or him going to jail now, it's the best opportunity for Ben. I know he's not going to be able to hear this, but he can go in there, clean himself up, get himself looking ripped again, because, you know, when people go into jail, they could do the weights, and he's got an amazing appetite for fitness. So he can get fit, come out, because right now, before he went in jail, unemployable. Like you wouldn't be able to hire, no one would hire him.
Yeah.
Now he can go to jail, come out, rehabilitate, it could be the best turnaround story of all time, because people will want to know about his jail, about everything else. If he cleans himself up, this is probably the best thing that's ever happened to him, because he's got two beautiful little kids as well he's got to think about. Mm. So it's not just about him now, but since all the stuff's happened, he's had a lot of people tell him, do this, do that, do that. And I know when I was going through issues, you got all these people telling you things and you just don't want to do it. You're like, eh. But now he's in there, he's got no one talking to him. He's got a whole year to think about his whole life, and it's up to him now.
Can I just say,
he can come out a better person and really excel in his life, because he's only 40. He's got a lot of life to live. So I'm rapt that he's in there. It's going to be the best thing for him and his parents.
And his parents, and speaking of Brian, I mean, I remember that tell all they did for either the Sunday doco, night or 60 Minutes, the doco. That was 10 years ago, and I can still hear his dad see him crying, saying he's hit rock bottom. And poor Brian and his mum and his family, another 10 years they've gone through rock bottom. The only thing is, I am being devil's advocate here, Fev, but no one wants to go to jail, but it can be scary, and people with addictions can end up almost sometimes worse off. I'm not wishing that on him, but he's got to be careful in there, because there's influences in there.
Yeah, there is, but hopefully, he gets in with the right people and people do look after him. And being a West Coast player over in Perth, they're pretty
protective.
They're pretty protective over there, so hopefully he gets in with a good crowd. And once he detoxes and everything goes well in there, he can come out and really change his life, and there'd be nothing better. Like I'm not saying I'm best mates with Ben, but I did spend a bit of time with him, and especially for his dad, Brian, and just people in his inner sanctum, I think they wanted this as well. This has been coming for a long time,
and now that he's threatened for a long time, and we've seen him in court over the years, and now it's like, no, finally.
And I think the judge has just gone, no, you need this.
Yeah.
And this has probably saved his life in a nutshell. So hopefully he goes in there, and in a year's time, we can be talking about Ben Cousins, the bloke who went to jail, stuffed his life up, but now has
turned it
around, and it could be one of the greatest comeback stories of all time. So best of luck to him, and hopefully all his parents and everyone. Now we know he's in a place where he can get better, and it's sad, but at the end of the day, something I think he's had to have gone through to get out the other side, hopefully.
Mm. Well, you're one of the few blokes that can share that story from that angle, Fev, so we appreciate him sharing it with us.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Yesterday, Fevy, we were down on the Neighbours set because you were filming your role.
yes.
One scene we had to do, and I can't wait to hear how that all cut up. But in the meantime, it was just great having you on set, mates.
Can I just say, you know how we put a bit of grief on Fife when she's filming Neighbours about how tired she is? I tip my hat to you, Fifi Box, because it is hard work. And you're there shooting a lot more scenes than what I shot.
A lot more.
And I don't know how you did it.
Oh, Fifi, I literally don't know how you did that. Yeah, it's
you're there
intense.
All day, here all morning, putting up with our crap. Then you go there and you got different, because you don't just shoot the one scene and that's it. You shoot it like 10 times.
Oh, totally. And you spend an hour doing a scene.
And you nail it. Well done.
You do about 8 or 10 a day.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it was good having my mate there on set.
It's great to get that insight from you as to how it was to have Fev on your set there. Neighbours, Brooke Butler, of course, a very popular character.
I'd love to know what she really thinks after I pumped her up.
It's interesting, Fev, you should mention that, because we do have technology that enables us to tap into Fee's inner thoughts. Yes, Fifi's brain, we can connect.
Connecting to Fifi's brain. Now connected. You can now hear Fifi's brain.
No, Fevy, you have nailed it. I work extremely hard, and when a hero comes along.
Okay, Fifi, we'll go to you and ask you, we'll give you a chance, seeing your brain is right there listening to all of this.
Oh, yeah.
How did you really feel when Fev got the part in Neighbours?
I was really excited because I love Fev. And he's my mate. And having him come to Neighbours was a real thrill. I was excited. I hardly slept all weekend. I was so excited about it.
Yeah, I was happy for him. Yeah, happy he didn't have the same amount of lines as me. He's already on my radio show, and I'm tired of making sure I'm at the front of the poster. And if I didn't know it better, okay, if I had to work to make him second fiddle on that neighbour's set, I would be exhausted.
This is all very unfortunate.
Well, it's very untrue. That's Fief. What it is, because that's not my brain.
It is.
Do you have any acting advice, Fief, for Fev as he embarks on his acting career in Erinsborough?
He barely needs any. I've seen a few things he's done yesterday, and he
is perving.
He's a natural. And my only advice is keep being you, Brendan. You are a natural.
Yeah, and on, just to attach to that, don't muscle in on my turf, big boy. Beelines, okay? Don't come into my trailer and don't ever use that masseuse they got for me, okay? Carlos is for me and me only.
Oh, we've never heard about Carlos from Fief.
Carlos, you got to see Carlos.
Okay, Fief, could you see you two working together in the acting arena again?
Absolutely, absolutely. We had a lot of fun on set.
Oh, yeah, we did. Ah, yeah. And to be honest, I've got a couple other stuff coming off, and I need a new PA. So I fired the last one for talking to Carlos too much. Fev, yeah. I swear to God, if you do what she did and tell him it's too cold and he should put his top back on, I will end you.
Okay, there we go. Fifi's brain.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Yes, now, oh gosh, it's Wednesday, isn't it?
Hump day.
So it's Wednesday the 29th of March. Guys, it's happened again. So I'm a week and a half away from Trixie's birthday party. And it's just on me again. I know I mentioned it last week. And then since then, I've had some personal dramas and stuff's been going on. And it's like, oh, what am I going to do?
Just quickly, here's an offer. You can take it or leave it. There was a service that was offered to you at this time last year. The party planners in the house tonight. Just want to see you have a good time. Every day I'm party planning.
Party planners in the house.
What a
yes.
Banger.
Brendan Favola.
The Brendan Favola party planning service.
That was the best. Now, look, let's be honest. That was her third birthday. And at that stage, she was talking, but not really aware of what she wanted now.
So that's been a year.
Yeah,
Where's my email saying congratulations, you've been at SCA for a year?
Our parent company.
That's a good point. Now, I had a chat with her yesterday and I said, darling, what sort of party do you want? She really wants a fairy party.
I know she's getting older, but I'm aging incredibly after hearing these stories.
I know,
just seems to go on forever.
I know, but the thing is, last year I had you dress up as Elsa, Fev. Dave,
Olaf.
You dressed up as Olaf.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great party. Trixie's never seen, still hasn't seen Frozen for some reason. Doesn't like movies. Is that strange?
No, she's like her mum. Doesn't want to watch the movie so that it'll be over for some reason.
She's watching reruns of Neighbours. No wonder she's seen movies.
trying to bolster Phoebe's IMBD count.
But anyway, I'm strapped of ideas. I need to single-handedly put on a kid's four-year-old birthday party next Saturday. I've given myself 8 days, 13, 10, 60. Ideas, people, mums, dads.
This is ridiculous.
What are some shortcuts?
Okay.
What food do I make?
This is a sell.
A sell for what?
Sell for a party.
Anybody want to help me?
13, 10, 60. It sounds like Favola hasn't been renewed, that contract.
I gave you an idea.
Yeah, I know you did. That's a great idea. It's Thank a brilliant you. Idea. I just need, you know, how do I do this effectively and quickly? Okay. And, well, I want my – she's getting to an age where she'll remember now. There's a memory
There's a big elephant in the room. Her friends at kinder, has she got them yet? You can't have a party without friends.
I know. Every day I say to her, sweetie, what friends did you play with at kinder? And she goes, do-do-do.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Oh, I've got carried away again. This time of year, I don't know what it is about this time of year, but I get so flummoxed, I get so busy and distracted, and then I realise it's my beautiful, gorgeous little baby girl's birthday.
And you taught me a new word.
And which one?
Flummoxed.
Flummoxed, yes. And the thing is, she means the world to me. So then I put so much pressure on myself to give her a good party, but I'm not a natural party planner. I don't naturally, it doesn't, it's hard
work. You're
not
a natural party goer.
Thank you. I do struggle. So if there's any mums or dads out there who can give me some tips to, I've got to put it together in a week and a half.
So in other words, what can you get for free?
No, not even that. No, I honestly, I want to know what to make. I was thinking, do I just get myself about six bags of Tip Top bread and make sandwiches? sandwiches? Like, or do I go to the trouble of making sausage rolls? I've never done them
before.
Does
Mercedes put on parties?
Jody from Narre Warren. Hi, Jody.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Jody. Jody, any good tips?
Well, we work for an events company, Rides for Fun, and we offer rides out for kids' parties. Really, really good entertainment for the kids.
That's a great idea. Jody, if it's not necessarily a massive garden, what sort of smallish rides have you got?
Like a two-seater, like a Humphrey or a school bus.
Oh, that's cute.
That's good.
Jody, that is great to know. I mean, a ride might help. I'll jump on your website, Jody.
Can Feather and I fit in? Like, can I take big bodies?
What is your website? Give yourself a plug, Jody. Other people might be planning parties.
www.ridesforfun.com.
Perfect. Beautiful. Okay, well, anyone else who needs help with rides too, there's Jody. Beck from Sunbury. Hi, Beck.
Beck, do you have a business you'd like to promote?
No.
Beck, any tips to put together a good four-year-old birthday party?
You know what? I think that a craft afternoon would be brilliant. It worked really, really well for my daughter's birthday party, so I reckon you can do it too because I'm like the most disorganised mum in the planet.
So does that mean, Beck, I do the craft afternoon before the party to create crafts for the party or do party's a craft afternoon?
You do it as part of the party.
So it's a party and a sweatshop.
Kind of, yeah. I've got this little book and it's like a fairy book of all these different little crafts that you can make with the kids and it's just out of paper and other bits and pieces that you could have around the home and it also has really simple fairy-type foods that you can make.
I need that. I want to make fairy food. That's a good idea. I'll do fairy food. Beck, great idea. I'll just do some little workstations. Kinder. Amy in Wyndham Vale. Hi, Amy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Amy. I'm putting myself together a little fairy party. Any tips?
My best to help you would be go to the kinder and speak to the kinder teachers and say, look, I just want to know who Trixie plays with and get,
there's an issue there.
Why is that?
I'm not sure that she's playing with anyone, Amy. But
you never know. She might be, and you might not know about it, whereas they would know. So they are very helpful.
Can I pick
like
your
that.
Brain? I really need your advice on this. Hmm. So what's the deal? Because when I was at kinder, you could just ask your friends, but isn't there now rules? If you ask a couple, you've got to ask the whole class?
It is hard. Like I've got a son in daycare at the moment. He tends to say that he doesn't play with anyone, but yet at daycare they always say he's playing with at least five or six kids.
Right. So and you just pick out those kids.
Then you sort of, go through it with them. But also play centres are the best option around that age. You don't have to worry about the cleanup. Food's provided and they get to play for hours.
Okay, there we go. This is good.
Thank you for that,
okay.
Amy.
Okay, thank you, Amy. This great tips. No, I need other mums to tell me things to do that make you a good mum. I really need that.
How long have you got?
8 days.
Okay, great. Good.
Plenty of time.
We're just about done. I'll tell you what, those kids' parties, obviously a very different vibe to some of the more grown-up parties that Fee's been to over the years.
Fancy seeing you here. Want a drink?
Oh, we love
that. What happened there?
That is always standing by, that little soundbite.
Was that from the Logies?
Fancy seeing you here. Want a drink?